Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's going on, Draft Maniacs? As you can see, it's myself, Tyler Rucker, on the show this week for the No Ceilings pod. My co-host, Mr. Metcalf, out of town, so want to take things in a little bit of a different direction. Now, if you guys haven't been in the solo mode with me before, it's going to get a little bit more serious. Usually with Metcalf, I have some fun on this show. We kind of joke around, make some draft humor, basketball humor related topics, but I like to get serious when I go a little solo. I talked to a couple of people at our No Ceilings team about coming on with the pod for me, and I was like, you know what? I got to get some stuff off my chest. I feel like a solo mode episode is coming. So I want to talk about the 24 class. We're going to talk about everything. A lot of people have been pointing at this class the whole year, talking about a disappointing class, a letdown class. And there's a lot of thoughts. There's some honesty to that. I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff today. We're going to be serious here. We're going to talk this out. We're going to find a resolution and look at draft history and point out why we should be optimistic about this class and not be so down on it. So I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about today. Draft history, looking back at other classes, comparing it to the 24 class. You know, some of you might have heard me throughout this cycle kind of be like, it's tough to compare this class to other classes. The harsh truth is we all love to do it. It's the first thing we always want to do when we're looking at an incoming class of talent. We want to say, hey, how does it go to last year? How does it compare to the most previous drafts that are fresh in our minds? And I completely understand that. I still stand firm about we got to be open-minded with this year, but because everyone likes to do it, because it requires it for this episode, we're going to take a little travel back into the past. We're going to look at previous draft classes that might have struggled and see if we could see something a little similar. So I want to talk about that. And then I want to break down this class entirely. I want to kind of shine some light on why there's depth, why there's optimism, why you should get excited. And why not? Let's look at the lottery. Let's talk about the teams in the lottery, where I see some names going, who could be in the conversation. Let's just fucking get weird today. Excuse my French for the young ones out there, but let's just get right into it. So the 24 class, everyone is ringing the dinner bell about how it's weak. It's not going to be awesome. There's no superstars. There's no talent to get really excited about. There's talent in every class. There is talent to find in every class. I've spoken to scouts from the beginning of the year, spoken to them weeks, days ago, hours ago. And everyone says the same thing. Like, hey, there's talent in every draft class. We've just got to find it. I believe that is certain with every single year, regardless of how strong you want to say the class is, regardless of how convinced of your weakness of this class, how strong you are on that hill, there's still going to be talent in every class. Now, I told you guys I was going to be serious with you. Let's not sugarcoat it. Yeah. This class is weaker. There is serious question marks all up the top of the boards. Top five is a terrifying place to be picking this year because of the uncertainty, because nobody really knows Are you reaching for someone that you like in a normal year? Quotation marks. In a normal year, is that player you like probably going 5-6 picks later? I completely understand that. You know, I've seen the reports of executives saying it's like having the 7th pick if you're picking first. Okay, fine. Well, now you're on the clock anyways. You know, everyone that wants to doubt this class, that's fine. But come draft night, you're going to be turning on the TV like the rest of us. You're going to be engaged. You're going to be watching. You're going to be locked in and optimistic about this class adding talent to your team. And that's why I love this class. I'll be the first to say it. It's brought chaos. It's brought anarchy. It's brought awesome debates with draft fans. It's brought awesome discussions and trying to educate yourself about what's the direction. What am I seeing with this player? Could they really help? I think it's been a really fun year. And moving forward, there's plenty of guys at the top that are going to draw a lot of attention because of the uncertainty. There's a lot of guys at the top that have serious upside that are just unfinished products. They always are in the draft. All these guys are not finished. So it's going to be fun. I would be keeping an eye on pre-draft workouts. You're going to hear buzz and rumors right now. There's going to be a lot of reports going out. Understand the time of the year. Understand people are trying to get the ball rolling about the draft buzz because there's not a lot of NBA games going on right now. There's not a lot to talk about. Take everything with a grain of salt. It's this time of the year. It's the week of the draft. That Monday is crazy for just rumors galore. So I would keep a close eye on the pre-draft workouts. That's what's going to be important moving forward. But I said I was going to talk about draft history. Let's do it. So everyone's pointing to this class. We're saying, hey, it's weak. It's no good. There's no franchise guy. There's no potential all-NBA guys. Whatever you want to say, fine. If you look back in the histories of the draft, you're going to find that there's an all-star in pretty much every draft. There's going to be one. I went back and looked at some of the notoriously bad drafts, if you want to put it that way. I'm going to go through a bunch of names. So if you're listening, you're not paying full attention, might want to pull over if you're driving, might want to focus. This is my alert to you. We're going to go through a lot of names, so just bear with me. I went mad scientist mode on this, shout out Metcalf, because I think this is important, and I think this is going to tie the whole picture around of what I'm trying to get at. Let's start with the 2000 draft class. Now, three all-stars, and before anyone goes nuts, I'm going to run through like 80 names. If I miss one guy that was an all-star, don't come knocking at my door. You get what I'm saying. I'm going to name some all-stars, some notables, and their draft picks. So you're going to see that there's talent in every class and there's contributors that play at the NBA for a damn long time. 2000 draft class. So we got three all-stars. Michael Redd, 43rd pick. Kenyon Martin, first pick. Jamal McGlure, 19th pick. Notable players, Darius Miles, Kenyon Dueling, Eaton Thomas, Chris Mem. Not the greatest draft class. Still, we get some all-stars. We get a lot of names that played at the NBA level for a very long time. Moving on. 2002 draft class. The Yao Ming year, in case you guys don't remember off the top of your head. Yao Ming goes first. Amari Stoudemire, 9th. Caron Butler, 10th. Carlos Boozer, 35th. Some notable players in that class. Mike Dunleavy, 3rd overall pick. Drew Gooden, 4th pick. Nene Hilario, 7th pick. Jay Williams, 2nd pick. Tayshaun Prince, 43rd, Matt Barnes, 46th, Luis Scola, 56th. Now, I'm just throwing some names. There's a lot of other names that you could have thrown into the conversation, but you see where we're starting to get at, where you get some depth. Okay, there's some guys there that went all over the place that played for a very long time, maybe not having the superstar top five, and having depth is a good thing. Let's keep it going. 2013. All right, now we're going to get in some familiar territory. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's pretty good. 15th, Rudy Gobert, 27th. Other notables. Otto Porter Jr. went 3rd, Cody Zeller, 4th, Nerlens Noel, 6th. What a run. CJ McCollum 10th, Steven Adams 12th, Dennis Schroeder 17th, Tim Hardaway Jr. 24th, Reggie Bullock 25th. We're getting depth. We're getting value. Value all over the board. Let's keep rolling. 2006, LaMarcus Aldridge, 2nd. Brandon Roy, 6th. God, he was good at Washington. Rajon Rondo, 21st. Kyle Lowry, 24th. Paul Millsap, 47th. Dig a little deeper. Some notables. Rudy Gay, 8th. J.J. Redick, 11th. Shout out future Lakers coach. P.J. Tucker, 35th. Ronnie Brewer, 14th. And then, why not? Let's throw out some names that you guys were probably grown at. Bargnani went 1st. Adam Morrison, 3rd. Still can't believe he didn't work out. Tyrus Thomas, 4th. Hilton Armstrong, 12th. Getting a little ugly. Couple more. Because, hey, it's a solo episode. I'm getting serious. I went to work for you guys. 2014. Yeah, let's get a little fresh. Andrew Wiggins, 1st. Joel Embiid, 3rd. Julius Randle, 7th. Zach LaVine, 13th. Nikola Jokic, 41st. Shout out Taco Bell. Notables. This is where we get cooking. Aaron Gordon, 4th. Marcus Smart, 6th. Elfrid Payton, 10th. Dario Saric, 12th. Yusuf Nurkic, 16th. Clint Capella, 25th. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 27th. Kyle Anderson, 30th. Jordan Clarkson, 46th. We've got two more. I'm telling you, we're getting weird. Two more. Here we go. 2005. Yes. Chris Paul, 4th. Deron Williams, 3rd. Danny Granger, 17th. Andrew Bynum, 10th. Andrew Bogut, 1st. David Lee, 30th. Other notables. Marvin Williams, 2nd. Raymond Felton, 5th. Gerald Green, 18th. Nate Robinson, 21st. Jarrett Jack, 22nd. Monte Ellis, 40th. Marcin Gortat, the Polish Hammer, 57th. And then I'm going to throw one more in there, and you guys are going to hear this and be like, what the hell? Why is this one in the conversation? But there's a reason. 1997. Yeah. Still haunts my dreams as a Celtics fan because Tim Duncan, 1st. Tracy McGrady, 9th. Chauncey Billups, 3rd. So I know what you guys are all thinking. Why the hell are you bringing this class up? That's three really big names. Well, here's the other names. Keith Van Horn, 2nd, Tim Thomas, 7th, Danny Fortson, 10th, Austin Crozier, 12th, Bobby Jackson, 23rd, Steven Jackson, 42nd. We just went through some of the classes that have, and I said some. Some of the notorious classes that people will point fingers at to be like, this was a weak class compared to others. There's some really good fucking names to mention there. Not all of them were all-stars. Not all of them were Hall of Famers. There was some, but there was also a lot of players that played at a high level in the NBA, figured out a role, figured out a way to stick and make an impact in this league. Made a lot of money, probably, not as much as now, and illustrious careers. Just because you don't have the superstar power for a draft class does not mean there's no talent. Does not mean there's not depth. Does not mean that there's not players that can figure out a way to play at the NBA level and be damn good at it for a long time. And that's what I'm getting at with the 24 class. I have had questions about the upside swing guys this whole year. Those questions are still burning as bright as they did to start the year. But you get to a point in this class and you start to see that there's guys with skill set, there's guys with higher floors, there's older upperclassmen that really could bring something to the table, which is what I'm trying to say is this is the year to connect the pieces to the puzzle. You're a young team, you have a foundation, you have some guys that look like they're on the rise. You really need to take that next step. You might not get your superstar this year, but you might get that connecting piece that makes everything flow. Everything gets a little easier for that rising star. Like, throw out Detroit. We do it every year. Detroit with Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, they have some young pieces. They need something else. You might not get that superstar. You might not get what you're looking for when it comes to swinging for the fences, But you might find Robin for Batman this year. You might find something, an ingredient in the kitchen that you're missing to really get everything coming together for that big recipe. There's guys that have questions. There's prospects that have warts this year more than ever. But I really do think if you're open-minded and start to look at these guys in a way of what do they do? What can they bring to an NBA team? That's when things might get easier. I really do believe that because they're, like I said, to start this off, there's talent in every class. There's going to be talent in this class. We can see that. It might not be the high upside franchise altering piece that we're always looking for, always dreaming of, but you might be getting a guy that's going to play for your team for a very long time and be that piece and be that guy that steps up in a playoff matchup and carries your team to a victory. He might be the sixth, seventh guy on your roster that just turns into an asset that every team's trying to get in free agency. That every team's like, damn, I wish we had him. You know, the Alex Carusos, the guys like that that just figure out a way to be irreplaceable with what they can do on the court. Not what they can't do, but they bring a certain flavor to their game, their specialty that teams are looking for. So we did a deep history lesson. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to talk even more about the 24 class.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
All right, so I'm going to be a hypocrite right now. Everyone's probably laughing while you hear that. I just talked for about 15 minutes about draft history and comparing this year's draft to other years. Why I did that is because everyone's going to do it. Everyone has been doing it. We're taking this class and immediately going right back to last year and being like, well, there's no Victor. What else? Can we find a Brandon Miller? No. Can we find a Scoot Henderson? No. It's because it's fresh on our minds. We just watched the year of NBA basketball. We saw all these rookies dazzle us. We're excited about that class. We're excited about last year's class taking that next year's step. We're even going back a further year and saying, hey, you know, can there be a Chet Holmgren? Can there be a Jabari Smith? No, no. Okay, move on. And my biggest thing I'm going to say right now and has helped me this whole year, and all of you are going to roll your eyes because I just spent all that time comparing it. And this is a hot take. You can call me crazy. I don't really care. We can't compare this class to others. We have to be open-minded. I think when you start just looking at this class for what they bring to the table and you don't fascinate about last year's class or the one before that or what the other ones, how can they compare to this? Like pro comps, I get it. We all love to do it. I love to do it. I get it. The easiest thing for me this year has been looking at this class and saying, it's not any other class. This is what is in front of us. How's it going to work? How are we going to figure this out? Yes, these guys can't do that. What can they do? Yes, there's no Brandon Miller superstar upsides. There's no Paul Georges for the wings. What is there? Because if we fascinate too much about what these guys can't do, we're going to overlook what they can bring to the table. Rob Dillingham, Reed Sheppard. Yes, I'd love them to be bigger. I'd love Rob Dillingham to weigh 195 pounds right now. And, you know, I'd love Reed Sheppard to be 6'5". They're not. Okay. Realize it. Move forward. What can they bring to the table? Well, Rob Dillingham's probably one of the most dangerous microwave scorers in this draft. When he's on a heater, it's as high as anybody's heater when it comes to just being on fire, take over a game. Playmaking ability was sensational this year for Kentucky. It really impressed me. So right away, he brings two dangerous areas of his game offensively. He's got short window burst. He really is electric with the ball in his hands. Efficient numbers this year. Get excited about that. Let's not fascinate about what he can't do, what he's not. Let's fascinate about this could help a team looking for a burst in their backcourt. Reed Sheppard, same thing. Dangerous shooter, high feel, understands how to get to his spots, plays the game the right way. Don't connect. Yes, he's older. He's also one of the most dangerous scorers in this class. Nasty, 6'6". I understand he's not the greatest defender in the world. But what does he do? He can pack a punch offensively. He carried a team on the offensive side of the ball. His life's going to be a lot easier at the NBA level when he's not asked to do everything. We just have to start looking at these guys of there's not going to be 10 prospects that come out of nowhere that start getting us excited. This is what we have in front of us this year. So figure out a way to fascinate on this class, focus on this class, and not focus on trying to make it something that it's not. And I think that's when it's going to get a little easier for everybody. I really do like this class, guys. I really am getting pumped about it. And I want to kind of break it down into more specifics for everyone looking out there, everyone getting caught up in the draft. You know, I think this is where you can start to kind of put everyone together. Because like I said, this is the year you put pieces of the puzzle together. You might have a picture of what you're trying to build for a puzzle, but you keep losing pieces. This is the year you might find those pieces. Like, oh, they were on the ground. You might find those pieces and be able to connect it a little bit better, get your rosters taking a step in the right direction. It might not be a leap forward, but it might be that necessary step. It might be that piece that really helps everyone. Like, let's just break this down into categories. There's upside swings this year. Absolutely. There's a lot of questions with those upside swings, but there's some really talented guys that if they click, buckle up. Names I've got in that category: Alex Sarr, Perth Wildcats, potential number one pick. The defense is that special. The fluidity at 7'1" with his size is freakish. You go watch him beginning of the year against Bezelis and Ron Holland in the Ignite. It looks like the easiest number one pick of all time. Then you watch him at the NBL, very physical league, thin body, big. He just kind of struggles offensively, but there's brilliance defensively still in limited minutes. So I still think Sarr is going to be up there. I think he's the biggest swing. And we always know that top of the draft, you're swinging for upside. You're swinging for a potential star. And I think Sarr will have plenty of opportunities to showcase Atlanta, Washington, what he's got to untap. Nikola Topic, still very highly on. Spent the year with Mega, was dominant, goes to Red Star. I've loved what I've seen recently until he got injured, but I think he's going to be back in time to kind of show teams for workouts. Avoided that serious knee injury. So going to be interesting to monitor his buzz. But other names I've got as the upside swings: Modest Bezelis and Ron Holland, I just talked about. Yes, Ron Holland's in my upside swings. Haters are struggling right now. Stephon Castle, Rob Dillingham. Then I've got the skill set assets. These are guys that I think bring a punch. Bring something to the table that NBA teams will be desiring because, hey, they might have questions in other areas, but what they can do on an NBA court is something that's desired. Reed Sheppard, just a gamer. Don't overthink it. Dude can just play. Deadly shooter, high feel, understands his strengths, understands his weaknesses, just plays the game the right way. Donovan Clingan, I thought his second half of the year film compared to first half was just ridiculously impressive. I think there's a real shot he could go too. I'd like that fit a lot. And I think he's just a big, big bodied, playmaking, untapped defensive anchor. Every team's looking for that. I know plenty of people are going to be fascinated about a shot. I think it's just something that if he can get to a point where he's in the Jonas Valanciunas, like, hey, I can hit a couple, makes him dangerous. Jared McCain, deadly shooter. Slow down, Rucker. Deadly shooter. Great hooper. Undersized, yes. But rebounds, tough. High feel. Interviews. Sounds like he's been kicking ass. Another guy. Tyler Smith. Good size. Floor spacing. Questions defensively on ball, yes. But showed some rim protecting. Showed that he could stretch the floor. With that size, teams are going to be looking for that ingredient. And then I put Ryan Dunn there. We know the questions offensively. We know the questions with the outside shot. But what's his NBA skill? Well, he's a damn good defender. He's probably one of the best defensive talents in this class. Teams are going to be convinced that they can work with that at a certain range in this class. Then we get to a fun area. Raw, but talent. Saloon, Cody Williams, Bob Carrington, Tyshawn George, Johnny Furphy, Pacom Dadier. Very fun group. Have no damn clue where they're going to go right now. I wish I had a crystal ball, but I think you get different answers on all of those names. Some of those names are buzzing right now. I think Pacom Dadier is the name to watch. I've absolutely loved him. Playing overseas with Ratio Farm Ulm on a very good team. Very young. Crazy upside at 6'8". Just some really fun skills. I think he's going to be a name that's going to be very popular once their season's over. I think they've got 2 games left. They've got to win both. I think they've got to win both to keep the year going. So that could be happening soon when he's coming over to work out for teams. But I could see him buzzing just smooth. 6'8", smooth. Tyshawn George and Johnny Furphy were the darlings that were kind of were being party crashers to end the year. Their range is wild. I still think there's a lot of really fun tools there. Bub Carrington, I think, is the name that could really get cooking with this pre-draft process. And Cody. Cody's first half of the year film, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Second half of the year, really struggled after that ankle injury. Was kind of banged up, tried to play through it. You could tell it wasn't the same. So I think he's going to be the, I hate saying project, but I think he's going to be the name you're waiting to untap some talent. You're waiting to really unlock something if you can be patient. Would not surprise me wherever he goes. Then I get to high floor guys. Zachary Richichet, Dalton Connect, Tristan Da Silva. Get one of them. Draft one of them. Those are the guys that I would draft earlier than the consensus might agree right now. I know Richichet's in that category, but it's funny to me people are cooling on Richichet because he's getting that buzz to be in the top five. And everyone's quickly saying, well, you're a top five pick, top three pick. You, if you're a wing, you've got to have crazy tools to work with. You've got to have this upside to be a Kawhi Leonard, a Paul George, the wings, because we know the NBA has become a wings league. Nikola Jokic would probably have something to say about that, but the wings are sexy. We get it because it's the idea of drafting size plus guard tools and combining those worlds together. And with Richichet, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and be like, hey, tell me on him. He's not this guy you give the ball to and say, go get a bucket all the time. You're not going to force feed him right now. Richichet is a talented defender off the ball, on the ball. He's smart. He's got good awareness. And he's become a catch and shoot weapon. I think there's been some unbelievable strides in his development this year. From last year, a very timid player that looked like he was just trying to figure out what to do on the court or just never looked comfortable. I'm going back to seeing him in Portland, watching him in FIBA over the summer. What he's done this year with Jael Borg, it's just a completely different human being. It's a completely different shift of mindset. And it's because he developed some confidence, started getting going when it came to his outside shot. He figured out a way, but it's just the aggressiveness, the motor, the desire. If you could focus with Richichet, like if you're struggling to buy in, this is what you need to do. Focus on what he could bring to the table for your team. He's the type of guy that if you slide alongside a young star on your team, he's perfect. Doesn't need the ball in his hands a bunch. If you've got that guy where you're like, hey, we have a guy that looks like he could be the guy. If you add Zach alongside that, it's going to make life easier for both parties because Zach doesn't need the ball to try to be the number one option. He could play good defense. He's got good size. He's probably going to be around 6'9", and he's young. So getting a high floor 3-and-D guy early on, while things develop, if you can have alongside what's already brewing in the kitchen for your organization, I think that's the easy sell with Richichet. Don't focus on what he's not. Focus on what he could be. And if he becomes a high level 3-and-D guy, I'm not saying Mikal Bridges, but how many teams right now are like, oh, I'd love to get Mikal Bridges. I'm not saying Richey's that. I'm just saying the idea that you're getting this wing with size who can space the floor and play good defense. And then we got bigs. Oh, wait, what am I doing? Dalton Connect, Tristan Da Silva, I absolutely love. I talked about Connect earlier. Da Silva is going to be just an absolute steal. I've talked to some people. Shout out the No Ceilings Plus Discord channel. We've had plenty of very fun conversations about Da Silva and pretty much everyone in this class. You guys are animals. Because I think he's just going to be a safe pick in this class. Bigs galore is my next category. We got Kyle Filipowski, Yeast Missy, Zach Edey, Khalil Ware, PJ Hall, Deron Holmes, and then there's a bundle in the second round. You can also talk about, you know, when it comes to Oso Iguodaro, a lot of bigs this year. So I think if you're looking for big man depth, last year there wasn't a ton of it after Victor. This year's a lot. It's just pick your poison. What are you looking for? Are you looking for that physical rebounding presence that doesn't need the ball offensively but can play defense? A Dembona comes in the conversation. Looking for a big that can space the floor with a little bit of touch and some nastiness. Deron Holmes, PJ Hall. You're looking for a giant, Zach Edey. You're looking for the explosive athlete with untapped potential. He's Missy. You're looking for a potential diamond in the rough. If you can unlock the consistency, Khalil Ware. You're looking for some nastiness to add alongside with some versatility. I think you get Kyle Filipowski. Like there's just a little bit of what's your flavor? Baskin Robbins, you know, all those flavors. What are you looking for with this year? If you're looking for a big to add some front court depth, you can really find it in this class. That's why we're talking about depth. There's a lot of names and especially bigs that could bring a boost to your rotation. And that's exactly where I'm leading into. Didn't even plan this. My last category was rotation boosts. A lot of names. Kevin McCullough, who I absolutely still love. He gets the green light with the health, which I sounds like he's trending in the right direction. I think he's going to be a steal just because of the versatility. Devin Carter, I absolutely love. I could have put him in three different categories here. Tyler Kolick, Jalen Tyson, Hunter Salas, Baylor Shireman, Oso Iguodaro, who I just brought up, Dylan Jones, KJ Simpson, just a couple. You can even get deeper and get into Mark Sears. And I'm not listing everyone in this class because, you know, I could have gone back and Rob a talented. I could have thrown AJ Johnson or Trenton Flowers in there. But that's the point exactly. We've got depth this year, folks. We've got exciting pieces to get pumped about. This is a year where if you're a smart organization, you could let the board fall into your hands. The value is going to trickle down the boards on draft night. And some teams are going to be looking up. It's always teams like the damn Miami Heat. Shout out Heat fans, Heat Nation, Heat culture. It's the teams like that that have a field day with this class because other teams are going to be swinging for upside early and they're going to be really intrigued and the board's going to fall into their hands, just fall right into their laps. And if you're patient, you can go strike and get some really good value. If you're a team with multiple picks, Utah Jazz, gosh, it feels like there's 15 teams that have 30 picks this year just because of the second round. But, you know, Toronto, even having those early second round picks, those second round picks are going to be really fascinating this year. I talked to an exec about the new draft format and I was like, hey, do you like the second round? How this year it's going to be another day. And at first he was like, yeah. And he's like, you know what? No, I don't. And I was like, why? And he goes, because I think if you have your shit together, you should be able to kick some ass in this class. But now it's going to give time for people to go back, regroup, analyze their board. And he's like, the draft's chaotic. It always has been. But if you have everything lined up and you know what you're doing, it shouldn't be a problem. Like now it's going to kind of level the playing field to let teams regroup and understand. And I think that's really interesting and also makes this year's format even more fascinating because I could see teams being aggressive to try to move up in the second round if there's value on the board, which there's going to be this year because of this class. So it could be a lot of navigating overnight. It's going to be really fun. All right. Everyone regroup. We're going to take one more break. And let's do a little lottery talk. Let's talk about some team targets, some names to be considering right now, because, you know, recording this in May, this will probably completely change in the next coming weeks. I wanted to, before we get into the lottery, I wanted to bring up a section that I kind of have pointed out that has been really fascinating for me to follow all year. Kind of points at the importance of not getting overwhelmed with what these guys aren't right now. We're always looking for shooters, but it's easy to tell with this class that there's a lot of guys that are still, how do I put this politely, still behind in their development. I believe earlier in the year, it was either Jeremy Wu or Gavoni pointing out a good point in one of their articles talking about a lot of these guys had to deal with the pandemic year and didn't get play a lot of basketball while that was happening. And I was like, that's a really interesting point to remember. You know, we always talk about some guys that, hey, they're young, they might have missed the year of development, reclassified, stuff like that. And I think that's you're seeing it with this class with some of the names at the top, because they do look a little bit more raw. It could be a year in which the upside swings, guys that go in the top 10, maybe don't hit the ground running as rookies and maybe have that sophomore leap because of the year you're waiting for that development to catch up. So it's just something I wanted to point out, but this is where I was really getting at. We're always looking for shooters. NBA teams are more than ever because of the offensive numbers, the desire for three-pointers, everything. I'm going to rattle off. These are stats of today. I'm recording this May 23rd. These are the stats I've done currently. I just wanted to point out some names. If you're looking for shooters, here's the list of guys over 40%. This isn't everyone possible. This is just off my big board. But I wanted to point out some notables. Reed Sheppard, guys over 40% from three. Reed Sheppard, Robert Dillingham, Mark Sears, KJ Simpson, Khalil Ware, Cody Williams, Jared McCain, Jalen Bridges, Kyshawn George, Hunter Salas. You could argue three of those guys are going to go in the lottery. So if you're looking for shooting this year, it's going to get rough. One of my big jokes all year has been a lot of guys are saying, well, this guy's a shooter. And I go, well, if he's a good shooter, why can't he shoot? Yes, one year could be something. But after you get past that 40% range, next names, some notables. Dalton Connect, Tristan Da Silva, AJ Mitchell, Zachary Richichet, Tyler Kolek. What I'm getting at. Those names have a very wide range with consensus boards right now. So at some point, if you're looking for shooting, it might be slim pickings. You might have to go get someone a little earlier than you're thinking. Like Dalton Connect and Da Silva and Mitchell, I think we're right around 40%, maybe around like 39, 38. I think Richichet is around 38.8 off the top of my head right now. So there's not a ton of proven shooters. There's guys like Buzelis that we thought were going to be these snipers that just never really consistently came around. There's guys like Stephon Castle, Ron Holland, that plenty of questions about their shots. Still really, really scary, fun upside. I probably should have... Yeah, oh, I did put Castle. And I don't need to talk about Castle. Everybody knows how I feel about Castle. My point is just being, you have to be open-minded about the range. Guys could come off the board a little earlier than you're thinking right now on May 23rd because the consensus is telling you, hey, he's supposed to go 14th. Well, the team needs shooting bad at 9. They might go get a guy. So it's just going to be interesting. I think this year... If you're wanting shooters, you're going to have to be careful because those shooters have some warts. And we just talked about some of the best shooters, Mark Sears, Robert Dillingham, Reed Sheppard in this class. Everyone says they're undersized. It's just going to be interesting. Let's talk about the lottery. It's unbelievable doing this exercise and thinking of all the names that could come into the conversation for these picks. Every year of doing this for No Ceilings, I feel like at least right now I kind of can narrow it down. And while I was doing this exercise, I feel like I was rattling off 4 or 5 names for each pick. And it's a lot of the same names. It just shows you how wide open everything is right now. I talked about this earlier. Don't buy in too much for rumors right now. And the reason why, scouts leading up into the combine had no damn clue about who they liked this year. It would be very shocking if 2 weeks later they have a firm picture of what they want to do at the draft. They might have some names they're starting to like. We have a long way to go. A long way to go. That's the narrative I've gotten still when checking in on people, is they still have a lot of questions. That's why those private workouts, keep an eye on those. Who are they bringing in? That's when the picture is going to start getting a little clearer. Atlanta at one. Wow. Shout out Atlanta getting up there. I still can't believe it. It's pretty awesome. Right after they got one, it seemed like the narrative I got was that it was going to be Sarr. It was going to be a shocker if it wasn't. Now we're starting to get a little Ricochet buzz from media. We'll see. I think Atlanta's going to be smart. They're going to monitor a couple of names. I think Sarr, Ricochet should be in that. I will say, if you're bringing Sarr in, I think you're a team smart. You're also going to bring in Klingon. I think you're going to bring in Klingon and Sarr just because you want to see. So Atlanta's going to be really interesting there. I think Washington, you could just get crazy with the names. I think you get Sarr, Ricochet, whoever doesn't go first. You can bring Klingon, I think, has a real chance to go there. It makes a ton of sense to me. I know some people might not be convinced. Klingon makes a lot of sense to me. And for people that will push back on that, you look like you just struck gold with Bilal Coulibaly. What if you get him now a damn good center that could be an anchor defensively with shot blocking? That's what smart teams do in a rebuild. You keep adding the right pieces. You keep finding the specific ingredients to get things going. Coulibaly, let him run a little bit more wild second year. Let him take that sophomore leap. Klingon, if everything checks out health-wise, a dangerous defensive anchor. You could be cooking with some stuff, not to mention some serious length and size. I think Topich could come into that conversation. I think Dillingham could come into that conversation. So I think Washington's another fascinating team. Houston is becoming like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what they do. I think Reed Shepard's in the conversation. The Klingon stuff is wild right now. If people are saying they got a shot to take him, because I love Shangoon, but are you going to play? What does that do with Jabari Smith? A lot of questions. Dillingham, I think, is going to be in the conversation for every pick. Trade? No, I don't know who's wanting to come up this year. So Houston's going to be crazy. And then we get to San Antonio at four. Oh boy. I think Ricochet, Topich, Stephon Castle, Dillingham, Reed Shepard, Klingon at four. I think those names make sense. I'll get to San Antonio at eight. I know already what Spurs fans are thinking. Just give me a second. Detroit, same thing. Ricochet, Buzelis, Reed, Dalton Connect. Might be rich, but I get it. And then Castle, like, I don't know where Detroit's going. They could be all over the place. Maybe that's a sell spot. Maybe that's a trade back a little bit spot. If you're Detroit, to let the value kind of fall down the board a little bit, maybe someone wants to come up to get someone. Who knows? Charlotte, I still love Stephon Castle there. I hate to keep saying Dalton Connect everywhere, but I just think at some point with his shooting and offensive burst and the athleticism, the size, I think he's going to start heating up when it comes to high floor in this class. I think Cody Williams could be where we start really swinging. If you're Charlotte, I don't know. I feel like that'd be really bold. But if you're saying, hey, we got Brandon Miller, we hit a home run there, we're swinging all up for the fences again, maybe. Feel the same way about Ron Holland there. I don't love the fit, but if you're just swinging really big, I get it. Portland at seven, kind of the same names I've mentioned. I think Saloon and Buzelis. I think Buzelis could even be in the conversation at six, maybe. And then San Antonio at eight, I think the same names. I think you get wing hungry. If San Antonio took a guard at four, I think they would pair a wing potentially at eight. You could also flip that and go wing at four, maybe a guard at eight. I also still thinking maybe San Antonio's, this could be a wild card, but maybe San Antonio's saying, hey, let's get a couple forwards, get a veteran point guard, free agency, wherever. They got a lot of good routes that they can go. It's going to be really interesting. But I think Saloon at eight could make sense. Maybe Connect, maybe Cody, maybe Buzelis is there. Memphis, Man, I'm fascinated to see what Memphis does. Just because this is another year where I think we got the Grizzlies this high, and we're saying this might be the last year they're picking this high. So if they go high floor or if they swing upside, going to be really, really interesting. And then Utah is the same story. I'd love Castle to be there. I don't know if he's gonna. Bezelis or Holland would make a lot of sense just because the Jazz have a front office that like to be patient. And my biggest point with a lot of these teams, we're going down, we're listing a lot of names that have some overlap. One of those names is going to keep falling. One of those names is going to present some value, some intriguing value to jump all over. All it takes is a team picking ahead of you to swing for the fences. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's lower on our board. Our guy might just fall right to us. Chicago, I think you could get into the conversation, maybe a guard if Collier, or maybe if Jacoby Walter, I think he's going to look really well in pre-draft workouts because he can shoot the crap out of the ball. And we know how good guys can look against a chair. Connect or Holland, maybe. OKC is the wild card where I think you start getting into some different names of maybe, hey, maybe a Kyle Filipowski, which was such a fun stretch of time that we were just consistently talking about that. Maybe De Silva is a little rich, but maybe that gets in the conversation. I would take De Silva before then. And I think with Sacramento and Portland, you're getting a lot of similar names. Maybe you start swinging upside. Maybe Missy climbs up to the boards. Who knows? I'm not going to say Zach Edey goes to anywhere in there because of my personal beliefs, but that's where we're at, folks. And it's a lot of teams. It's a lot of stuff I'm throwing at you guys. Just get excited about this class. There's going to be plenty of people being down on it. There's going to be plenty of people saying that the top isn't strong. I started this off saying I agree. The top has more questions than I've ever seen when it comes to a previous draft, because I just think one guy could go third and one guy could go 10th. It's like that same person could go two different places, and you could make that argument for about five or six names. It's going to be a really fun draft, and I think years like this with so much uncertainty make it more fun than ever. So I think it's going to be fun. Don't get too caught up on rumors right now. It's starting to get rumor season. We're going to have a lot of fun content coming your way when it comes to some breadcrumbs, some intel. I know we got some mocks, some big board updates coming up soon. So, you know, I hope everyone loves this episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. I think it's a really valuable lesson to kind of look back at draft history and understand that even the bad years had talent. The bad years found talented players that even if they weren't, you know, even if there wasn't five, six, seven all-stars, there's still guys that were really noticeable that played for a long time. And I think just because you got questions in the top five does not mean the depth couldn't just be fantastic with this class. And I think we're going to look back and say, like, there's a lot of guys that made a lot of money in this class. So appreciate you guys checking it out. Thanks for everybody listening to the podcast. Make sure you guys give us a review, subscribe to our YouTube channel. The growth has been unbelievable. Hopefully next week we'll get the mad scientist back. We'll cook up a fun episode for everyone. Enjoy draft season. We'll talk to you soon.